Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want you to take your Bibles and you can open to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to keep going through this series of redirecting our life. I've been talking about changing course. Thanks, Leslie. Talking about changing course about in our lives, and it sparked something because of what I read that the ancient philosopher Aristotle said. And he said this. He says, we are what we repeatedly do. How many of you would probably agree with that statement? We are what we repeatedly do because we form habits, and what usually ends up happening is those habits begin forming us. Because here's the deal, and I want you to realize this. You are the sum total of those things that you keep doing over and over and over again. So what you do yesterday and today and tomorrow all adds up to be the person that you are. You are the sum total of all those things. So the big idea that I've been bringing to you each week is this, and that is that most people have uphill hopes, but what? Downhill habits. Oh, you're getting it. Good. You're getting it. You have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Listen to me. Hope is not a strategy. Hope will get you motivated to change your life. Hope will get you motivated to see something new. Hope will get you motivated to pray and to read your Bible and restart all that over again. But hope won't keep you going. You have to have a plan. You have to have something more than that. So what you need to do is you have to have a course correction. You have to change the direction of your life. You have to reform your daily routine. You have to change your habits. And you say, well, Pastor, that's the problem. I've tried, and it doesn't work. I've tried these things. Well, my question to you is, have you tried the things that we've talked about? Have you started trying to put God first? Have you started doing the first 15? The 5 by 5 by 5. 5 minutes just in the Word. 5 minutes. Just listen to a worship song. 5 minutes just praying and just covering your family in prayer. Have you tried that? Have you tried just reshaping your thoughts? Instead of the first thing you do in the morning, turning on Fox News, how about you open to the Scriptures and let the Word of God begin to nourish you and seed your thoughts for the rest of the day? Because that's what happens. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit will seed your thoughts, and what you start your day with is what's going to grow throughout the day. So when you get pressure from your boss or you have a problem that comes up at work, the thoughts that you sowed in the ground first are what's going to pop up first. Okay, you follow me? And so my encouragement to you is try these things, because I know, as I read in Isaiah chapter 55, that the Word of God does not return empty. It doesn't return void. What God's Word says is what happens. And I'm giving you the Word of God this morning. So today, we're going to move on. There in your notes, we give you those notes so that you can help follow along and engage the message. We're going to talk about course correction number 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, reading from the Message. I want you to consider the reality of this verse. I like this paraphrase because it says something that's so important I want you to catch. It says this. It says, fix your attention, partly through verse 2, on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. That's how real lasting change happens. It's not when you try to do it on the outside. You can paint an old barn, but it's still an old barn. You change from the inside out, and you really recognize what He wants from you. And you begin to quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, and everybody knows what that's like, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. This is the phrase I want you to catch. But God brings out the best of you. How many of you want God to bring the best out in you? How many of you husbands want God to bring the best out in your wife? Come on, come on. How many of you wives want to see the best come out of your husband? Come on. I figured I'd get a lot of amens on that one. You want God to bring the best out in you and develop a well-formed maturity in you. Okay, so course correction number 3 that I would encourage you to make is this. we have to get our life aligned with our purpose. We need to get our life aligned with our purpose. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that, Lord, this morning that you would help me, Lord, as I just bring your word to this church today, to help to refocus, Lord, what our purpose is, that you would reshape us, Lord, not just doing the things first that need to be done, Lord, and changing our thoughts, but, Lord, to rediscover that purpose and to realign ourselves according to it. I pray that, Lord, that this would be life-changing, Lord, for people who hear it, Lord, who are just trying to fix things, Lord God, that aren't making any difference in their life. Help us today to ingest your word and let it change us. For I know that it will not return empty. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever been to the chiropractor? Anybody ever been to the chiropractor? I have a unique testimony of I have been to a chiropractor on 4 different continents. North America, South America, I've been in Europe, and in Asia. I've been on all of those different continents. I've had different chiropractors. My most unique experience, I was in Russia, and Shannon was there. My back was hurting so bad. One of my pastor friends, we were missionaries there. I said, man, my back's killing me. He's like, and his English was really not very good. And I said, man, you know what a chiropractor is? And I was like, you know, he works on your back. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let me take you. I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a nice little shop. So he takes me to this old Russian Soviet style flat. We go up about 5 or 6 floors. There's no lights in the hallway. We knock on this door that has no bulb in the entryway. We go into this open flat, and when I walk in, there's a room that's about the size of, I don't know, someone's living room with a chair sitting right in the middle of it. No one's around. The lights are still, it's dark. The light's coming in the windows. And I looked at Vladimir and I said, you got to be kidding me, for real? He's like, yes, yes, please. I walk over to the chair, and when I get over to the chair, there's a man comes and meets you, and he says, oh, you know, and it's all in Russian. I'm not going to try to say what they said and explain it to you. And he goes, oh, I can fix. I'm like, oh, boy, great, because my back's killing me. So he says, please sit. So I sit down in the chair. And he circles me in that chair 2 or 3 times. You know, he's just kind of walking around me. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God. That's when I started praying. I was like, oh, dear God, what has he done? You know, they're going to bury me and they'll never find me. You know, Shannon will not know. So he's walking around. He finally, after I've been sitting there just a few minutes, he comes up behind me and he puts his hands on my shoulders. And I'm kind of, you know, my heart rate's kind of up because I'm thinking, what are these guys going to do to me? And he goes, these are the words I'll never forget. He goes, just relax. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. He grabs me by the head. He grabs my ears, about where my ears are. And he starts just kind of moving my head. Just relax. Just relax. I'm like, I'm trying, pal, but this is really hard. And he's just kind of moving my head, you know, just kind of shaking. Just relax. Just relax. And I was like, you know, my back, and I begin to try to explain. I was like, my pain is down in my lower back. About that time, he went, whack, like that, and just picked me up out of the chair by my head. I didn't go back to him anymore. It was not a good experience. Shannon, when I got back, she's like, how was it? And I was like, now I'm not hurting down here. Now my neck is just killing me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just said, Lord Jesus, you got to help me. Something that I've learned about chiropractors is that you can have this pain that may be here in your lower back, or it might be, you might have pain in your knees or in your legs. But most usually, where the pain is does not mean that that is where your problem is. It's what they call referred pain. It's called, in the medical, they call it referred pain, which means your problem is actually maybe in your spine because it's out of alignment, but your pain may be down in your legs. And here's the point that you're going to catch today. Some of you are trying to solve all this pain, but I want you to realize something. Where your pain is taking place is not the same spot that your problem is. Because if you know, and you've been to a chiropractor, when your back is out of alignment, it hurts all over. Your shoulders, your feet, your legs, your head. In your spiritual life, or just in your life, period, A lot of you are just desperately trying to resolve pain in your life, and you think that's where the problem is, but here's what I want you to see in the Word of God today. That's not probably where the problem lies. And so you're just trying to treat symptoms, but you're not getting any better. And that's why you say, well, I've tried this, Pastor, and I've tried that, but I just can't seem to make it all work. It's because you are examining the wrong thing. What I'm going to encourage you to do today is to just realign yourself, to get yourself realigned so that you can find that alignment, so that you can get that purpose back, and so that you can have your life lined up, and that pain will dissipate, because that referred pain from the general problem that's happening is going to be addressed. I can't think of anything that will inform your life more. It will inform your money, it will inform your marriage, it will inform your career, it'll inform how you raise your kids, it'll inform you about your future, than knowing your purpose for being on this planet. I don't think any other question will inform all of those areas of your life any more than that question right there. Because here's the thing, and I've learned this over 25 years of ministry, I've realized that the best way to pastor people is not trying to help people solve their problems, it's trying to help people find their purpose. Because when I can help people find their purpose, it makes sense of some of the issues that they deal with in their own life. Things that they've dealt with for years and years, the problems they've dealt with. And so that's why this course correction, this realignment, this redirecting your life is so important. That's why it's so important. Because here's what I want you to understand. You can see that in your notes. Because you have a purpose. Can you just say amen to that? Yes, sir. I have a purpose. I have a plan. God has a plan for me. And it's not just a plan for preachers and pastors and church leaders. God has a plan for you right here where you sit, whatever you're doing. God has a purpose for your life. He does. Psalm chapter 139, verse 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And some may say, well, you know, I've pretty much messed up that book. Because I've written a bunch of chapters that I know God didn't ordain. But can I just say this? God has an amazing way of taking no matter how many chapters you've tried to add into your life and still making them fit into His purpose, into His book. God has a way of doing that. You say, well, you know, back when I was 22, I made some bad decisions and I wrote a chapter in my life. But God, I want you to know, God can pick up where you tried to write your life, and He can write the rest of the story. Because you have a purpose. God wants you to know that. He has that unique ability. Ephesians says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, for we are God's workmanship. We are uniquely created. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. There's nobody like you. And somebody said, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. You are one of a kind. Nobody like you. God created. You are God's workmanship. And listen, you were created in Christ. Now, that's a powerful statement. Because, listen, you weren't created to pay the bills. You weren't created just to raise your kids. You weren't created just to live for the weekend. You weren't created just so that you could send your kids to college. You were created in Christ. Notice what he says. To do good works prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want you to think about those words and how they're shaped. Because what Paul is saying, he's saying God had the thing for you to do before He had you. Now, that's an amazing statement. That changes your whole idea of your purpose, right? Because God didn't create you and then say, what am I going to do with this now? Right? You didn't come along and God said, now let's see what I can come up with this for this person to do. No, no, no. God says, here's the task that I've got to be done. And so I'm creating Les and I'm creating Bridget with purpose to do those things. You know, here's a quote that I came across, and this is important, and I think it's good. I think what we need to do is we should live our lives by design and not by default. That's pretty good. Because you were designed with purpose. You were designed for something to do. We should live our lives not just because that's the way life is or that's the way life happens in my life. We should say, you know what? Me and my purpose, we're going to go make it happen. Because God has given me a reason. That's why I've got breath in my lungs. Because God has a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And listen, not only do you have a purpose, when you realign your purpose, is you have to realize that because you have that realignment, because there are so many other things that will compete with your time and with your attention. Did you know that credit card companies have a plan for your life? They do. They do. And they're so bold, they'll ask you, hey, what's in your wallet? You know, I mean, that's who they are. They're bold. They will design your life for you. And if you let others design or that purpose, then you're not living God's purpose. You see, if you don't define your purpose, if you don't allow God to define your purpose, other people in your life will define your purpose. They absolutely will. And the result is this, is that we start adding things to our life that don't have to be there. And you start doing so many things that God never intended for you to do. You try to do too much. You're going around doing, you're throwing around buying, you're going around planning, you're going around just doing all this too much. And here's the thing. That is the American culture. That's the culture we live. That's the culture of America. This is the motto of America. More is better. Right? Isn't that the culture's motto? More is better. If you got $1, two is... Y'all gonna have to play with me on this one. Come on. If you got $1, two is better. Of course. If you got one car, two is... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. If you got one donut... Can't we just have a break right now? If you got one donut, two is what? If you got one kid, two is... Well, I got somebody right there. He's like, no, Pastor, you're just not taking me down that road. You know. If you got one wife, two is just wrong, okay? You can't do that. I know some of you are like, what? That's not how we roll around here, okay? Two is wrong. That's not how we do that. More is better. You know, everything is better. Reminds me of that story. I love to laugh in church because it's helpful. It's good medicine. It reminds me of that Bible student that went to the professor and he said, sir, in his Old Testament class, he said, I just want to know. He said, why is it that Solomon had so many wives? This old professor said, well, he was just hoping that one of them would be in a good mood. And that's why he had one. I didn't mean that. Praise you, Lord. Praying for after church, Lord. Here's a good statement. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. When you've got life competing for your time and your attention, you're just going to be overwhelmed. And I'm not going to ask a raise of hands of how many people have felt overwhelmed this week. But let me tell you what it leads to. You come to church and you feel like you are just absolutely on fumes. An underwhelmed soul, it just depletes the tank. It depletes the tank. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Solomon said, look, I'd rather have just one handful of peace than I had to try to get more and more and more because you never are able to catch it. You know? When you have $10, what's better? $2 million. It never ends. And that's what the writer Solomon said, you know, the world, the other people, they want to define your purpose, and they will take your time and your attention. And I just want you to realize that your purpose, this alignment is so important, not because you have purpose and not because you have to be careful that other people don't define your purpose, but time is short. You need to realize that time is short, and that's on two different levels. One level is just on your life. I want you to realize that you are one day closer to eternity than you were yesterday. You're not going to live forever. I know I'm supposed to be encouraging. You know, my name is Scott. I'll be here encouraging all day. You know, that doesn't sound real encouraging, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Time is short. Our lives are not everlasting on this earth. The way they are now is not going to last forever. So in one level, that's the case. But on the other level is this. And I don't claim to be an expert. I don't claim to be, you know, some biblical prophecy, you know, guru. But I can read. And I read the scriptures a lot. And from what I see, Jesus is closer today than he has ever been. Because what he says, when you start seeing these things, you better get your business in order. When you start seeing this happen and that happen, and you start seeing this in the world and that in the world, and you see this kind of leader, you start seeing this in the culture, my friend, you better get ready because your redemption is closer than you think. The day is near. Jesus' return is soon to come. Time is short, friends. Your life is short. My life is short. But the time of history is even shorter. We are living on limited time. Limited time. James chapter 4, verse 13 says it like this. He says, now listen, you say today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that. Just this indifferent lifestyle. We don't have time for that. You spend a year here, we'll carry on business, we'll make money, you know, just kind of living life. I'm just going to let it flow, you know, I'm just going to do my thing, you know, and tomorrow will be around, my job will be around, this person will be around tomorrow, and that person will all be around tomorrow. Verse 14 says, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life, he says? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're that little misty thing that you see over a cup of coffee and is gone. That's what you are. That's your life. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. Because whatever the Lord's will is what's going to happen. One of my great mentors, I don't know him personally, but I've read everything that he has to write, John Maxwell, he wrote a book years ago, and he asked this question. He says, what if today was the day that the world would remember you by forever? What if today was that day? A few weeks ago, one of the elders in West Freeway Church of Christ in Fort Worth, he will be remembered by that day forever. What if today was that day for you? To remember you by. And in that book that he writes called Today Matters, he has this quote, and I just want you to hear this because it's so powerful. And it's just true. It's nothing profound about it. He just says this. He says, I'll never change my life until I change something I do every day. You try to change something that maybe you do once or twice a year, that's really not going to help you. But if you change something that you do every day, God can work with that. It's like putting a little water on the clay, you know, spitting in the Play-Doh a little bit. You know, you're changing what God can do and shape on a daily basis. There's a lot of you that want to change your life. You say, Pastor, I want to do this. I want to change my life. But you're not willing to change the things that you do every day. You want to see your marriage change, but you don't want to change the things that you do every day in your home. Until you're willing to do that, you won't see much change because there's purpose in your life. There's competition for that purpose, and you just have to realize that the time is short. So if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results, right? So how do you do that? Just take the last few few moments of my time and just tell you four ways that you can correct your course by realigning your purpose in your life. Remember, everybody has a purpose. Why don't you just tell your neighbor right there, just say, you have a purpose. Come on, you have a purpose. So how are you going to realign your purpose? I want you to look at your life right now and say, you know what, I'm kind of all over the board here. I need to realign myself. I'm having problems and pain over here, but that's really not the issue. Can I just tell you, it's most likely you are not living according to your purpose. So how do I do it? First thing, you got to decide what is important. You have to decide what is. This is number one. If you want to live your purpose out in your life, you have to decide what is important. Honestly, if you were to look at your life, you would probably evaluate and understand that most of our lives don't get defined by the important things. They usually get defined by the urgent things or defined by others' urgent things. Whatever's urgent for somebody else becomes our urgency and becomes our purpose. Let me tell you, when you're living like that, it really deflects and it causes pain in your life. It causes confusion. You get frustrated with your career, with your job. You get frustrated with your spouse. You get frustrated just with everything in your life because you're not allowing the important things to direct you and to fulfill your purpose. So you have to make decisions on your priorities. You have to make those decisions, and you have to ask yourself, what are the important things, and where are they going to go in my life? I use this story to illustrate it. So there's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and he had season tickets, okay? And that year, the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl. I'm not being prophetic, I'm just being hopeful, right? Hope is not a strategy, remember. So listen, so he's got tickets to the Super Bowl, but the week before the Super Bowl, his wife passes away. So on the Super Bowl, he's there that day, and he has an empty chair next to him, and then there's a guy sitting on the other side of that empty chair, and, you know, I mean, these were expensive tickets, and the guy on the other side, he's like, hey, man, there's an empty chair here. What's the deal? He's like, yeah, my wife passed away this week. He's like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, why didn't you ask, you know, somebody, you know, my friend or your kids or a family member to have the ticket? He said, well, I couldn't do that. He said, well, how come you couldn't do that? He said, because they all at the funeral today, you know. The important things were not important. One reason why y'all are laughing at that is because I said Cowboys and Super Bowl in the same sentence. I know. You have to decide what is important. Listen what Paul says. Listen to how Paul lines that up in Philippians chapter 3. You've heard this verse several times in the last several weeks. Whatever was to my profit, you could say it like this. Whatever I thought was important, I now consider a loss for the sake of knowing Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness. What does that mean? That means, you know, if I thought it was better, I was wrong. It's actually exponentially greater. It is so much better when I gain the things that God wants me to gain, when I put the important things in my life, when God begins to lay out the reward instead of the rewards that I'm trying to come up with. It is inexpressibly better. My life is so much more than what I thought it could ever be. Not just a little bit. It is incredibly more. Surpassing greatness, he says, of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. You have to know and decide what is important. And I can see people's priorities and I can see people's importances just by how they live. I can tell those and say, yeah, I've got, you know, I know Jesus on like a certain level. I can see those people. I know the people who also, you know, may or may not go to church. You know, it's not too important. It's kind of important. I mean, you can see those who, well, I'll serve and, you know, be a part of something unless something better comes up, you know. And you see all that, and you see people who are just all in. I mean, all the chips are in the table. You see that they've decided this is all that's important in my life. You have to decide right now what is important in your life. If you have a purpose that you know that you have, that God's given you, you have to decide the things that are important. There are things that are more important in your life than some of the things that you're doing right now. Can I get an amen? Secondly, you need to give calendar time to important things. I know this is real practical, you know. This isn't one of those jump up and shout kind of messages, but this is a message that I promise you, if you put it into practice in a month or 2 months or a year from now, you will be jumping and shouting because it's going to redirect your life. You have to give calendar time to important things. Valuable things, listen to me. Valuable things will show up on your calendar. You really don't value it unless it shows up on your calendar. Because if you really think it's important, you will make time for it. Now that goes in a lot of different directions. Let me just take you one direction. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, "Teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. And help us," I love this part, "help us to spend them as we should." Your days, your calendar, your weekly appointments, your weekly time. You've only got, you know, I hear people say, you know, I just didn't have the time. No, you've got exactly the same amount of time as I've got and everybody else has. We've got the same amount of time. It's how you use your time that changes. You have to give calendar time for important things. I'm a real analytical person. When I was a kid, I got in trouble one time because I took the lawnmower into the garage and took it apart. I had pieces of the lawnmower all over, I mean, the engine, everything. I broke the engine down. When I was only like 9 years old, I broke the engine, took everything apart. I got everything laid. Dad walks in. He's like, "What the meaneth? What in the world have you done?" I was like, "Dad, it's cool. I just want to see how it worked." And I put the thing all back together. It was fun. I enjoyed it. The blade spun backwards when I put it back together, but hey, you know, you just mowed like this. Dad did mine. It was real analytical, and I like to discover things, and what I try to do in my life is something that, it's called the rule of five, and there's five things that I do, and I'm not going to share my things, but there's five things that I seek to do in my life. And over the years, I've kind of let some of them slide, and every year I try to refocus back on those five things. You need to come up with your rule of five, your five things that you have to get done. And here's what I want you to realize as far as your calendar and your time. It's kind of like the guy who's trying to chop the tree down, okay, and he has an axe, okay? And he goes to that tree, and every day, so he doesn't have time to cut that tree down all today. But what he does is he goes to that tree and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he sets his axe down. But here's what happens. If he keeps coming back to that axe and coming back to that tree every day, guess what's going to happen to that tree? See, that's the principle that you need to discover in your life. If you keep coming back and doing the things over and over, you will eventually see success in what you're trying to achieve. That's life-changing for some of you. Some of you say, "Well, I don't have time to do that." It's because you're trying to cut the tree down all in one day. Are you with me? Keep going back to the tree. Keep going back to those five things that you know are important. If you mess up, start all over. Keep coming back to the tree. Keep chopping on the tree. The secret is a few minutes, a few things every day. And they'll get your purpose done. They'll fulfill in your life what you couldn't fulfill because you try to do it just all in one day. Okay? The third thing I want you to just notice is this. Well, let me just back up. Let me just fill in some of those blanks. Every day in your calendar, you need to make time for renewal. You need a refreshing every day. You need to have time where you can refresh yourself. Some of you moms, some of you dads, you work and you're exhausted. You got so many irons in the fire. You got, you know, one kid, two kid, three kid. Four kid, you know, you got a half a dozen. This looks like the Brady Bunch running around. You're just trying to chase kids. It's all you do. You're a taxi. You know, you're the cook. you know, you're the maid, you're everything. And then you work, and on top of all that, you're just exhausted. I want you to make sure that you understand the principle of the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, you're doing the right thing today because you're here on a Sabbath allowing your spirit to be refreshed. It's not just about your physical body, it's about your spirit. But I can guarantee you, you can get more in 6 days than you can in seven if you allow God to restore you on that seventh day. That's a principle that's in the Scripture that started in the book of Genesis, and it still goes all the way through. Because on the outside, you may feel like you're washing out, but on the inside, as Paul says, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. So you got to make time in your calendar for renewal. Make time for relationships. I'll move quickly past this, but let me tell you something. The most important decisions that you'll make in your life outside of Jesus being your Lord and Savior is who is going to be inside your life. Who's going to be a part of your life? Because those people are either going to promote you or they're going to discourage you. I told my kids this a long time ago that I've discovered. You are the average of the five closest people there are in your life. You're their average. So if you hang around a bunch of fives, don't think that you're a 10. Oh, that's life-changing right there. Some of you just like, whoa, okay. I need to upgrade a little bit. If all of your friends are fives, you're not a 10. You're the average of the five closest people in your life. So what do you need to do? You need to seek out some people who are going to upgrade your life. Make time for those important relationships, and then also make time for rewards. The things that bring you heavenly reward, not just, you know, hey, I'm going to get a reward. Make time for things that bring heavenly reward. Part of my job is to prepare you for your final interview, for your final exam. And your final exam is that one day you will stand before the Lord. You will. You're going to give your account of your life as you stand before God Almighty. And that's one of my jobs as a pastor, prepare you for that exam. As a matter of fact, just like some of you, you try to get the questions before the test. Come on, somebody. College students, I see you guys over here. She's shaking her head. Smart young lady right over here. One of the questions that's going to be asked is, what did you do with my son? Many of you have all that answered. You've got that absolutely. He's my number one, numero uno in my life, Jesus. But another question that's going to be asked, it's going to be on that exam, is this. How much time did you spend investing in things for eternity, serving others? That's another question that's going to be asked on that final exam. I want you to be ready to answer that question. So you have to make time for those things. Make time for reward. Not just rewards, reward, the reward. Let me wrap up real quickly. The third thing to do is you have to eliminate non-essentials, things that just don't belong in your life. There are things that don't belong. You know, probably the best thing that advice that I could give you today, if I was just saying, hey, look, here's what you need to do. Don't make a to-do list. Make a don't-do list. Because it's not that your calendar's not full. It's that you need to say no to certain things so that the right things can be in your life, so that you can begin to direct yourself toward the purpose that God has a plan for you. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, throw everything off that hinders, sins that so easily beset. Throw those things off and let us run the race with perseverance, the race that's marked out for us. Let me just give you personally just this thought. Sports is a big thing. My family, you know, we've all been sports fanatics. There's this, you know, this is for families. Moms and dads, I want you to hear me this. There's this cultural new thing that unless your kid at 7 years old is on a nationally traveling little league team, that he's probably never going to make it to the bigs. I mean, that's this thing that's going to, you know, if your kid's not on this select league, this select club, triple elite, you know, double X, say, you know, whatever, then you probably might as well just go, you know, do basket weaving or something, because he ain't going to make it. He'll never play ball. Well, when's practice? Well, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. you know, we have an early practice on Sundays. We'll play on, you know, just every game of the week. You know, we might play some tournaments on Sundays. And here's the tragedy. Parents fall into that. Parents fall into that. And so they got their kids running to all these sports, and they're investing all this stuff in their kids. And let me tell you something. It won't make a bean's bit of difference at 7 or 8 or 9 years old, even at 14, 15 years old. It won't matter. Because those things are really not important. Let me just give you the testimony. My kids, we've been down this road, and we told the coaches, Shannon and I did, look, we don't practice on church nights. We don't play on church days. That's just not what we do. That's not who we are. So if we're going to be on the team, you'll have to schedule around that. If we can't be on the team, we can't be on the team. We didn't travel all over the country, you know, skip out, do all these kind of things. I'm just giving you some advice, moms and dads. Listen, it's turned out pretty well for us. Our kids, you know, they've succeeded well in athletics. And we didn't play on those days. Why? Because we honored God. It was as simple as that. It's like, wow, man, we just honored the Lord. We just said, God, we're going to give you what is yours. And you can't figure it out. God does it. He takes care of it. Finally, let me just close with this. You have to regularly take inventory. Here in just a moment, we're going to close our service with this. Because we have a special guest next week, we're not going to be able to take our regular end-of-the-month communion. So we're going to do the Lord's table today. And here's how we're going to conclude. I've taught you a lot of things today, principles. Here's how I want us to wrap it up. You have to take inventory. If you say, man, that was good, and you write down and you got your notebook and you've already closed your notes and you've already put that in your Bible and you've aced that away, if you've done that, then you won't allow the word to return unto you with good measure. It won't produce a crop in you, because you have to say, Lord, how can I get this in me to where it stays? So what we're going to do today is I'm going to invite Bridget to come back, and we're going to just go back and going to end on a song. But how we're going to do that is we're going to allow every person to serve themselves communion. Now, you're invited to partake in the Lord's table. I would just tell you this. If you know, you're definitely invited to come to the Lord's table. If you don't know Jesus today, I'm going to lead you to Him, and then you are more than welcome to be a part of that, because if you want to have fellowship Him, you at least need to know Him. Right? So today, I want you to realize, when you evaluate yourself, you're not just evaluating, well, God, what is my purpose? Because the number one purpose that God has for you is for you to know Him, to know His Son that came and gave His life, that all of the things that you have failed Him in, that living your own purpose, living for yourself, living your own dream out, and it's gave you a handful of really nothing. You've got pain all over your body because you're not aligned. Here is the biggest misalignment for anyone. You don't know Jesus. Nothing works in life because God has life rigged. It won't work without Him. Anybody discovered that? God has life rigged. It just will not work without Him. So this morning, I invite you to come know Him and then fellowship with Him. So I'd like for you to do this. Would you just bow your heads all over the room? Psalm chapter 39, I'm going to pray this prayer over you. And I want you to just allow this prayer to be something that is in you, that you pray. As we conclude our service, and we have a time of just to worship, we're going to serve the Lord's table, and you can go on your own. The psalmist says this, Lord, remind, and I'm going to pray this over you, remind us how brief our time on earth will be. Lord, remind us that our days are numbered, how fleeting our lives are. You have made our life no longer than the width of our hand. My life is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath. We know that is true. Why don't you join with me this morning and take inventory of where your life is? My question to everybody right now is this. If you don't know the Lord and you have misaligned your life according to your plan instead of God's plan and you don't know Jesus, that's the first step to take. And I just want to ask, is there someone in this room who would say, you know, Pastor, I would like to find my purpose today, and that purpose is to come to know Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Would you just pray with me? Would you pray that prayer with me? Is there anybody in the room that say, I would like to know Jesus today? I'd like to come to God today. I would like to develop a relationship with Him today. Is there anybody in the room today that doesn't know the Lord? All right. Since we know the Lord in this room, then I'm going to invite everyone right now to stand to your feet. If our ushers could get ready with the elements. As our team sings this song, I want you to just do it with me. Look, it's that clock says 2 minutes after 12. Would you give yourself at least 5 minutes? Would you take just 5 minutes? And would you conclude this time together with the Lord as our worship team sings? I want to pray over this time that you can just evaluate yourself and say, God, show me, redefine my purpose in my life. Lord, bless these elements. Lord, this body and this blood, Christ. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would let it come alive to us. Lord, for those who are sick, may it bring healing to us. For those who are broken, Lord, may it restore to us, Lord God, what it means, Lord, to just be in fellowship with you. And Lord, today as we come, as we personally take our own inventory, as we personally just have a time, Lord, to just sit with you, I ask that, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal your word to us, Lord, that you would put us on the purpose and the realigned path that you want us to live. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.